Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Stand by with us. And here I am. Welcome. Welcome, my friends. Hey. James Thurber said, all men should strive to learn before they die what they are running from and to and why. Get that. All people should learn before they die what they are running from, what they are running to, and why. We talk about running. Running from and running to. It's very strange because, you know, sometimes one wonders why people select goals for themselves. When you think about something that becomes a typical goal setting, I'm going to look young. I'm going to make myself look young. What are you running from? Running from dying, right? Warning towards the illusion of youth. I want to talk about goals today. I want to talk about something because I think this is kind of important. I was watching some people the other day who were trying to reach certain goals. And I watched somebody who was just doing minimal exercising after being knocked out for a while. And finally he gets to the exercise machines and he's doing this minimal, like 15-pound, 20-pound weights. And people start coming along and advising him. And he was listening to the advice. Oh, you should try this, you should do this, you should drink water, you should do this, you should eat chicken. And they're advising him. And I watched him lose his energy. And I said to myself, what is it about people? When you're on a goal, they think they have a right, or they feel that it's a universal goal. Therefore, they could tell you whatever they want. They can say to you, you should do it my way. If you have a goal and the goal is yours and it's not somebody else's, you have your own guidelines, the own things you set for yourself. You can get so far, you can be so good, but if somebody else is advising you on your goals and setting your goals for you, it's very, very difficult. In the cases of addiction, very often addiction counselors will advise. They'll advise people exactly what to do. They'll set the goals. You know, today you take one pill instead of two pills, and you do this. That's a different kind of goal setting. It's a normal behavior, human behavior, to set goals and to strive to achieve them. However, there are certain cases where a person sets goals and the goals will kill you. The goals are just coming straight out of your neurotic self. We're going to talk about that. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Alice in Wonderland. Remember Alice in Wonderland? Cheshire Puss was a cat. She began rather timidly, and this is Alice, as she did not know at all whether it would like the name Cheshire Puss. However, it only grinned a little wider, and it said, come, it's pleased so far, thought Alice, and she went on, would you please tell me, she said to the Cheshire Cat, which way I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to go, said the cat. I don't care much where, said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. Well, so long as I get somewhere, Alice added as an explanation. And you're sure to do that, said the cat, as long as you walk long enough. Now, this is why this is profound, is because that's kind of what happens to us. We all try, and we're all going to get somewhere if we keep trying. So it doesn't matter if your goal is accurate or not accurate, but I want to give you some tips on achieving your goal. I believe each of us has a natural inclination to grow our self-esteem and capability through new accomplishments. Most of us want to make a difference in the world. Most of us want to live life as fully as we can. Thus, we annually draw a new line in the sand, and we claim a starting point for our next chapter, and we set a goal. Yet for all the initial enthusiasm, keeping yourself motivated, committed, and moving towards the accomplishment of your goal is often tough. Tired of setting goals and making resolutions which fade fast from your daily thoughts and actions? Consider adopting some or all of these tips, which I'll give you, help you work your way. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You know, young people often live a day at a time, failing to think much about their futures. They don't want to think about their futures. They just day to day. Why? Because the day is so filled with so much stuff, including so much beauty. Why would you take time out of it to discipline yourself, to kind of remove some of your joy, to move on to, you know, let's take out 10 minutes and practice cello, you know, when you really want to go play baseball with your friends. Entrepreneurs, on the other hand, the business owners, they live with an eye firmly fixed on the future. They realize that although they will never have total control over the future events, they can determine the direction of their future by setting goals today. So a good businessman has a goal. I'm going to break even by the end of the year. I'm going to do a profit margin by the end of the year. And they set goals for themselves. If they set unrealistic goals, then they're not good entrepreneurs. But the entrepreneur does have goals and assumes that you're going to be thwarted along the way. You think to yourself, I'm going to get knocked off this goal. Something can come and get me. Somebody can come in and rob my store. What do I do then? And an entrepreneur, a business person, a shop owner, doesn't get knocked over by things like fire, flood. This is all part of the business. It's all part of your goals. And when you're setting your goals, things get in your way. Somebody close to you dies. Somebody close to you kind of gets sick and you get thrown off your path. You're in school and you got to stop school to work. If there is a sensible kind of motivation to grow your life in a positive way, these frustrations become tolerable and understandable. And you just keep on doing what you were doing. You keep going back or you change your goal. Career goals are roadmaps which help us travel from being a student to assuming our role as a worker. By setting goals, we think ahead to where we want to be in the future. By knowing future goals, we can decide what to do now. An important feature in setting goals is reality. Perception, seeing things as they really are. By setting realistic goals, we build confidence in ourselves. Now, there are many kind of goals. Short-term goals, long-term goals. Right? Thinking about both. If you have a long-term goal, somehow it requires a short-term goal. Now, there are certain people who have problems with goal setting. And almost everybody does, because we'll go back to the phrase, everybody has a right, the James Thurber, all men should strive to learn before they die what they're running from and what they are running to and why. It's very important. So, for example, if you're a damaged child who has been oppressed by a father who is a mean guy, You may say to yourself, I'm one day going to be independent practitioner. I'm going to be somebody who takes no orders from anybody, and I'm going to be a boss. What are you running from? You're running from being a child who's oppressed. What are you running to? Becoming an oppressor. You're running to trying to assume that power. Your motivation for everything you want to do comes out of a desire to escape an unhappy childhood. People who, there are people who want to be significant, people who join the arts. What are you running from? I'm running from being a child who wasn't noticed. I'm running to finally becoming a child who is noticed. What goal is this if it is based on running away from an early childhood pain? Even more than that, your very style of personality very often determines how your goal is determined. Like, for example, let's take a look at somebody who is perfectionistic. Now, when you're perfectionistic, it's difficult to be perfectionistic, because if you're perfectionistic, you don't have any room in the middle. You're kind of... People who are perfectionists set goals for themselves and others that are too high to achieve. When they're unable to achieve these goals, they end up feeling depressed with low self-esteem. Perfectionists seem prone to other addictions, such as drugs and alcohol, when their goals are not met. So you get a perfectionist who says, I've got to have the best, and it has to be perfect. When they fall apart heavy. The symptoms that are found in perfectionism consists of setting impossible or unrealistic goals, setting impossible or unrealistic goals for other people, or feeling that other people expect you to be perfect. All of that is part of perfectionism. And what you want to do is you want to kind of examine where you are. Because one thing about perfectionists, they have this one code underneath. And when I say perfectionist, I mean the kind of people who are perfectionists in general. And their one underneath code is, it's not okay to make mistakes. Now, it's very hard to go through life with a rule that says it's not okay to make mistakes. But you see, underneath the person who feels it's not okay to make mistakes is a person who has a great fear of being corrupt, evil, or defective, and that the mistakes are going to expose this defective self. So now, give me an example of a perfectionist. Would be like somebody who is preaching, you know, like somebody who's up there on a pulpit or in a TV evangelist, who is like, they're trying to tell you all about good, and they're trying to carry you along, and they're trying to bring you along to whatever religion they want to bring you to. And it's really funny, every now and then we find out underneath they have this, like, little disturbed part that is kind of bent. But you see, they have a great fear. The more that somebody becomes committed to religion, the more they seem to have a fear of their evil self, which is why it pops out among the clergy sometimes. You know, you have somebody who is so dedicated on one hand, and they have this other self that they're really running away from. Now, there are other kinds of people who set goals. There's one kind of person who is a giving person, and all they want to do is please other people. Do you ever meet people like that? I am happy when you are happy. I am happy when I make you happy. I am happy when I please you. Now, they have a kind of a rule in their goal setting. Remember, their goal is to make you happy. If you have a wonderful time at their hands, that's all they care about. They don't have their own needs. Their only need is you. And their fear underneath that is the fear of being unloved if they weren't pleasing. Another kind of person who sets goals is a person who's called the achiever, and they very often get judged. They feel like they're judged by their work. And it's in their role, in their life, they believe that they have to achieve the top level of whatever is around them. They have to be better than just anybody around. It's kind of a narcissistic thing because they have a fear of being worthless underneath, the fear that underneath, if they're not better than everybody around them, they're not so good. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm trying to teach you about goal setting and setting goals and how setting goals is very different for everybody, and that the goals we set are not something that's universal. Everybody's goal is different. What is your goal? My goal is to lose weight. How much weight do you want to lose? You know, really, if I lost 5 pounds, I'd be happy. Right? But no, that's not enough of a goal. People will advise you one way or another. People will always advise you. But everybody's goal is different. If you could set a small, realistic goal for yourself, just a tiny one, even for today, you know, it's a wonderful thing at the end of a day to say, all right, I got through this one. So make your goals tiny, 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 and try to get there. Another type of personality who has a great deal of trouble setting goals is the kind who believes that everything is deeply, deeply emotional and difficult. And according to them, it's not okay to be happy. And they have goals that kind of always lead them towards misery. And it's kind of funny. You wonder, why would you choose misery? Why would you choose? And these are, a lot of them are artists who don't get recognized, or musicians, and they all want to be out of the ordinary. They all want to be unique. So, like, instead of being an artist who paints things that people would buy, you paint things that are extraordinary but nobody wants. And you feel unhappy about it. And you say, I must maintain my, what you call, integrity. The integrity of self. Not too easy, my friends, when that integrity usually means being out of the ordinary, meaning that the only people who would buy your stuff are non-ordinary people. You know, and there aren't many. I mean, there are many. And the most unordinary people can't afford to buy anything, because if you're not within the ordinary group, you probably don't have a job. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So what about you, my friends? What about you in setting your goals? I'm going to bring you more ideas about people and their goal setting, but I'd like to hear from you at 212-209-2900. It's 212-209-2900. Do you have a question about the goals you set? You should. Every one of you. Because almost every goal a person has comes out of some form of compensation or some form of reaction to pain. And it would be great if you could know it. I mean, even you ask most children, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be a veterinarian. You know, who is it that wants to be a veterinarian? People who want to take care of little wounded animals. Why? Because the people who want to be veterinarians, they feel like little wounded animals. 212-209-2900. Let's get your calls in here today, because I love talking to you. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. My name is Mary Kate. I am a physician.
Hey, Mary Kate. How do you like having gotten there?
You know, it's a lot harder than I thought, and just listening to you talk about goals makes me think that perhaps I got into the wrong field.
Yeah, let me ask you, Mary Kate, when did you start saying, I think I'll be a physician?
When did I start saying I would be a physician?
Yeah.
When I was 24.
And what happened before then?
I had just finished college, and I was working in a retail position at that time. I was frustrated because I had no independence, and I thought becoming a physician would let me be the boss.
And as a child, did you have independence?
None.
None, right?
None.
So let's start again. As a child, there was no independence. The attempt through working in retail was to get away so you would become independent, but you noticed it didn't happen. So you then said, I'll become a physician, and that'll help me become independent.
Yeah.
So all of this fight was to beat something that happened in childhood. Why didn't you have any independence in childhood? What did they do? What kind of family did you have?
A very oppressive mother, very controlling.
Yeah.
And
controlling how? Could you tell me? I mean, like, would she tell you to do everything, what to wear, how to speak?
What would she do? I was allowed to pick from certain clothes. Certain clothes would not be allowed. And opinions were never asked for. And if I volunteered my opinion or gave my 2 cents worth, I might get my, I would get punished. I would get verbally punished.
Well, by your mother.
Yes.
Where was your dad?
He was working. He was around, but he stayed uninvolved because she was fairly verbally abusive to everybody in the family.
So he was afraid of becoming her target.
Probably.
And he offered you up as a sacrifice.
Yes, I was. Yes.
I say that, and I notice you choked on it when I said it. Because some part of you wants to think of your dad as being an okay guy, and mom was this creep. Right?
Yeah.
But dad wasn't there for you kids. He didn't say, let me go fight this person so that these kids can have their independence. Dad said, I don't want to get in the line of fire, so let it go on to my kids. Me, Mary Kate. That's pretty tough.
It is tough. I hadn't thought of it that way.
I know. We usually see the person, one bad person and one good person. But, you know, when you're a child, nobody should be hurting you if there are two people around. Somebody should be stopping somebody. As a physician, you say to yourself, I think I may be in the wrong profession. Why? Because you haven't achieved that independence, or you have and it doesn't matter?
I have achieved it, and I think part of it is just the nature of the field itself. Sometimes I feel like I am more task-oriented than people-oriented, and I get frustrated listening to people's problems. It finally dawned on me my job is to go take care of people's problems, and the next room is just another problem. There's not too much happy stuff out there.
Well, let's talk about people's problems. When you were a kid, did you listen to people's problems? Yes, there was only one person's problems all the time. Your mom, she had problems all the time, right?
This is true.
So you have a business now where you go from mother to mother to mother to mother. From room to room to room to room listening to your mom. Now, that doesn't mean, Mary Kate, that you shouldn't take the skills you have and use them in a way that works for you. But the thing we should fix is where your mom is implanted in your brain. You know, we're going to find her in your anterior cingulate or something. She's cingulate. She's kind of sitting in there somewhere, you know, and it's not her who put herself there. It's you who keep her there, and you're reacting to her all the time. So the answer is not to quit being a physician and try to find your freedom somewhere else. The answer is we got to unearth this demon and deal with it. You could do it.
Where do I start?
Well, you need a motherectomy.
Yeah.
You got to find motherectomy specialists. Hey, you know, I'm going to make a little announcement a little later. Which is, stay tuned. I'm going to make an announcement. It'd be a good idea for you. Stay tuned. You'll hear it. Maybe
Thank you for your time.
Join us on that. You're great, Mary Kate. Keep me posted. Do not switch your profession, because next thing I know, you're going to become a fireman, you know, and then refuse to put out the fires because, you know, they smell like your mother's cooking or something.
Thank you for your time.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the line.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I was calling because you were discussing goals, and I wanted to talk about a goal that I have for myself now.
What is that?
To pursue my acting career.
You want to be an actor?
Yes.
Now, you say to pursue your acting career, you want to be an actor, or do you want to pursue your acting career?
I want to pursue it because
Which means
before.
What? You want to join classes?
Well, no, I was involved in acting before, and I, you know, life interrupts, and you take jobs to survive, and then they end up taking over your life.
What's your name?
Anthony.
Anthony, let me ask you something. Yes. When you were a kid, did anybody applaud you?
Well, growing up, as I got older. Yeah,
what about as a kid? What about as a kid? Did you have a lot, big family?
No, I didn't.
No, and what about your parents? Did they turn around and say, oh, what a wonderful boy, we're so happy Anthony was born, we just, he's fabulous.
Well, my mom died in childbirth.
Yeah, so so you didn't have her around, right?
Yeah.
And your father what?
My father, he worked two jobs, he was very busy, and I ended up living with different people.
So he didn't have job, he didn't have time for you?
No, not really.
So here is Tony, Anthony, who wants to go on stage so finally he could find a family who will say, we love you, we accept you, we approve of you, and we'll give you, Anthony, a Tony Award. You know, we'll give you some kind of acknowledgement. And you're looking for that through acting. You're thinking, by learning to master how to not be yourself, but to be somebody else, you'll finally get that. Maybe you're right, Anthony. I wish you luck. I know a lot of actors, and I know actors who strive so hard to find themselves by becoming somebody else, which is kind of an interesting thing, because acting is being somebody else. So how to find yourself by being someone else, such an interesting idea.
Well, it can be looked upon also, I think, that how to display aspects of yourself that might have been hidden.
Sure, you can look at it that way. Display aspects of yourself by being somebody else.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I wish you luck. You know, if you ever get there or there's ever a ticket to be bought where you're in it, I'd like to get it, Tony.
Okay.
Anthony, thanks a lot for calling in.
All right.
So this is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. I mean, we are not, you know, psychology is not. Ask any psychologist about his mother, and he'll tell you, I had a sick mother. You know, I was always trying to make her feel good in one way or another. Almost every one of them had, you know, that's kind of why they're in the profession. So it's not that it's such an unusual thing. But the reason you get blocked in your goals very often is because this thing is behind you. Very often even stopping you. I know people who have rules in their lives that they could never go beyond their parent, especially men who say, I can never earn more money than my father. And they go to a certain level of accomplishment, and they get to a certain level, and then when they get to the very top, suddenly they pull the plug on themselves. So, because they could never surpass their fathers. Are you one of those people? We're going to take a short break, come back with an announcement, and after that, we'll take more of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. I'll be right back with you.
Hi, I'm Rosie Perez, and this is WBAI, listener-supported non-commercial radio in New York.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
Sure. All right. Hey, a positive mind. Positive mind, very difficult thing to keep nowadays with all the stress that's out there. It's a skill, and you can develop the skill and work on the skill by learning certain tools. I'll be doing a workshop, Armand DeMille here, on June 21st from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., which happens to be Father's Day, but for those of you who want to reparent yourself, June 21st from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., my percentage of the proceeds of this workshop will go to WBAI to help WBAI. So if you want to register and be with a group of us we're all working on having a more positive attitude. You can call the Open Center at 219-2527. That's 212-219-2527. Or go to www.opencenter.org. This is Armando Mill. By the way, this is not a place for depressed people to get cured. This is a place for people who want to join people of like mind. OpenCenter.org. And this is Armando Mill with you with the Positive Mind. Back with you on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Thanking the heavens for what's happening with the station and for some of what's happening. It was even some engineering difficulties, which you might hear a stumble with, my friends, but we'll be cool. We'll be perfect. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're talking about goals and goal setting. 212-209-2900 is our number. We're taking your calls. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Hi there, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing, Armand?
Good.
Okay, I don't know which one of those archetypes that I fit into. Maybe I fit into all of them, but I think maybe I fit into the latter, the artist perspective. But what about setting goals for someone else? And in someone like your partner, your intimate partner, your wife, that you've set goals for, that for you they're achievable, but maybe for the partner they're unachievable, and they've become a source of discontent, like really serious discontent, where their relationship is about to disintegrate.
Yeah, could you be a little more specific? What kind of goal have you set for your
wife?
Well,
I've set a goal that I thought my wife was going to be able to accept her nephew. And her nephew has become a part of our family. I spoke to you last week, and I don't know, I wasn't able to elaborate on it. And my wife comes from an abusive background, and she's unable to accept my nephew. And my nephew has become, well, her nephew, actually. And he has become an intimate part of
our family. Right, I remember you telling me this.
Yes. And it's becoming almost like a meltdown, because what's going on is there's see, I have a problem with
okay,
the term.
Okay, but hold on a second.
Yes.
Okay, I understand how you're using the idea of goals to kind of fit into this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of this here is, my friend, there's something strange about it all.
Yes.
There's just something strange about it. Your nephew shouldn't be around. This is you and your wife. There is something wrong with the priorities. There's something bigger going on here than meets the eye. And no matter what you say, as you think of it, that you're observing it from the outside,
uh-huh.
You are taking sides against your wife.
And I realize that, Armand. I realize that.
And so somewhere in there, I say to you, either get a divorce or stop taking sides against your wife.
Okay, and Armand, I realize that, and that's the situation that I'm in right now, that I am about to make that type of decision, because it seems to me that what my wife was saying to me all along was, it doesn't matter how young this child was, it doesn't matter who he is in relation to me, I cannot accept his presence in our household.
I understand.
And for me, because I didn't share that abusive experience in my past, I was not able to accept that kind of feeling coming from my wife, because I set a goal for her.
Okay, that's your choice. And I'm not going to go any further with this, but I'm saying to you, if you have a partner, partner comes first. And
no,
that's the basis of it. And when you choose, like, for example, let's say you have a partner who is an addict or an alcoholic. And you say to yourself, partner comes first. But sometimes you say to yourself, no, I come first. So I would say, if you're choosing yourself and your own survival over your partner's existence, yes. But if you're choosing someone else over your partner, that's questionable. And I think, if anything, I would say that calls for some kind of counseling.
Well, that's what I've been trying to get, because I feel like I'm in an impossible situation.
Sure.
And the goal thing was, it's very subtle. It's not like, I know it's off topic, but it's like, I feel that somehow I have set up a goal for her that
I can't do that.
Myself.
That's part of the problem. You got to set a goal for yourself to accept your wife.
Yes. And that's
the bigger goal. Thanks for calling in again, and I hope if you need me to be of help, let me know.
Okay, thank you.
212-209-2900. So this comes from an idea, if you want to know about priorities. I know this sounds funny, friends, but let's think of the priorities. If you do a triangle, at the top of the triangle is your mate. That means that's the person at the very top of the triangle, at the tip is yourself. So if you're going to be loyal to somebody, be loyal to yourself. That's important. When you stop being loyal to yourself, then you get in trouble. But your second highest loyalty is towards your mate. Your third highest loyalty is towards your children. Now, this means you never choose your children over your mate. People do, and when they do, the marriage is a disaster, and the children suffer. Fourth highest priority are your parents. Now, why your parents? Your parents are the fourth highest priority, but you never choose your parents over your mate. You never choose your children over your mate. The fifth highest priority is your friends. You never choose your friends over your parents. This is not never, but what I'm saying to you is the following. I mean, some parents, most people wish they never had. You know, I mean, they're not really parents. But the idea is, the idea of feeling a loyalty with a partner, that's really a remarkable thing. Feeling a commitment and a loyalty with a partner, and it's just, when that breaks down and you start choosing things outside of that partner, you got to look at yourself and say, maybe I shouldn't even be in here. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. It's Michael with the magic buttons. 212-209. Hi there. So 212-209-2900. Let me describe to you some of the other ways that people are, that people feel about their goal setting, you know. There are some people who set goals, and their goals are private goals. It's like they sit in their basement and they have a private goal, and their private goal is going to be to become a perfect expert at something. And their whole achievement is to become experts at something. And there are people I know who have become experts at stacking. Are you ready for this? Bottle caps. I can stack a bottle cap, not I, but they can stack a bottle cap 300 bottle caps high. And they spend their lives becoming specialists at this. Now, if they don't do this, they could, of course, be doing the other new thing, which is to be working on a computer or becoming a musician. Whatever they could do, it's doing it in their own basement. They're doing it in their own place. So there are certain people who say, I must become an expert or my goal is always going to be in private. Now, there's another type, and this goes on to the very, very big thing about ambivalence, this thing about how you just can't seem to achieve your goals at all times. Because there is another type of person who says, I can't trust myself and trust my judgment. So I am always ambivalent. I am always hesitating. I am always afraid to make a decision on my own. I'm always asking other people. So even though, my friends, you think that you've heard, you could say, I'm many of those. When a person becomes fixed and they become somebody who is they can never make decisions. What's the obvious thing? They become procrastinators. They procrastinate because nothing is a felt goal. You know, they don't have the felt goal. They don't have that desire. Let's take another one of your calls. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes. I have a question about your advice, said goals. I kind of, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, well, what does that actually do? It sort of fabricates your experience and sort of could lead people to waste time and divert them from their actual needs and passions.
Well, help me with this. What's your name?
Peter.
Peter, help me with this by talking about yourself, okay?
Yep.
How would, what is your goal? What has been your goal?
What has been my goal?
Yeah.
I don't think I have any goals.
Right.
Any specific goals.
So you've had, in your whole life, you've had no goals?
Not in the sense you're speaking of.
No, in any sense. Do you have any?
I've written books and I've wanted, you know, I've met deadlines, I've achieved things, but not
how do you feel about, how do you feel about the books that you've written? How do you feel about the stuff you've completed? Are you happy
about
with it?
Yeah.
So what?
Well, I'm not done with it. I mean, I'm not happy with it. I've still got more work to do. But
on each book that you've completed, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, people don't understand that about writers, that there's never a complete part. Well, have you ever published something that you've written?
Yes, years ago.
Mm-hmm. So in your life, would you say that indecision is a characteristic of yours?
No.
You're pretty decisive.
Yes.
You make your decisions.
Yes.
And did you have help in childhood? Did you have people who were helping you along to be who you are?
No. I was an autistic, severely autistic kid who grew up in an Italian immigrant family. And they were very superstitious. And so they treated, and I didn't find this out till I was 50. And so they treated me, like I was crazy, and I never understood why until I was 50.
Wow.
And then I saw some autistic kids, and I remembered my behavior. So basically, there's a two-sided coin. They actually, by not having the connections and the modernity to put me in a home, they treated me like a freak, but it kept me in society, and gradually I learned how to live.
Wow, that's an amazing thing that you came out of that background.
Yeah, but
therefore you can't go by any standards. To be 50 years old and to live that way.
I'm 60, and when I was 50, I found out what had happened to me.
Yeah.
So that made it possible for me to understand it and to forgive all the behavior around me in my family, because I understood that they were trying to cope. If they abused me, if they beat me or whatever, they just didn't know. They came from Sicily, you know. And
I know, Peter, did you ever see the movie Household Saints? Household Saints.
Yeah, I saw it once, yeah. I think I saw it once. Yeah.
And it's all about the superstitions from Sicily.
Right.
It's all
right.
About Sicilian. I mean, I'm part Sicilian myself, so I understand
it. Right, well, I was born with a veil on my head, too.
Yeah.
Which my mother saved in an envelope. I found that in a drawer once, and I didn't know what it was, and I didn't find out about that.
That's right. It's your birth veil.
Yeah, very, very superstitious. But
So again, here's a case you're making. Let me tell you one of the cases you're making. Okay. You've looked back on your life, and it is important to you, in dealing with the torment of your childhood, which had to do with people who you call superstitious, who didn't have enough wherewithal to kind of take you for what you needed. They didn't just have it. You know, they kind of were caught in their own rut. And they didn't want to get too uncomfortable, and they didn't want to look too bad. So they looked at you and said you were crazy, and they beat you occasionally for being disobedient.
My mother beat me all the time. My mother beat me all the time, every day.
So what you're doing now, Peter, is you're trying to make that okay in your mind. I don't blame you. You're trying to say, now I forgive her.
No, I'm not.
You said that a minute ago. You said,
No. I'm not saying that. This is 10 years ago I discovered this. Now, it's not, you know, you don't forget, but it gives you the capacity to forgive.
Well, how do you feel about it?
Understanding of anything gives you the capacity to be compassionate. But my point being that the very fact that I was not institutionalized, right, makes me, a separate thought, makes me wonder about these poor kids that are autistic that immediately go into care, immediately go into, are treated like they're, you know, institutionalized basically, they will never get out into society with anything but this ghost around them. So even though I had the pain and the anger and all that associated with it, at least I was able to socialize in my own way. And so it makes me wonder about this sort of guided approach. And your whole goal-setting idea also makes me wonder about it because, you know,
I hear you,
Peter. I believe that basically when you want to do something, it's right in front of you. You feel the passion. You feel the energy. You feel all of that. Is getting up in the morning and saying, I want to set this goal, can put you on a path that takes you away from that.
Well, you see, Peter, you're trying to talk for everybody. When you use this general you, you really mean I, Peter. That's the way. I, Peter, do it.
Yep.
But you keep going to the you. So, yeah. Therefore, yours is right, what is good for you. I know. All I could say to you is the following.
Yeah, but don't you use the you?
No.
Well, what are you using? You're using.
Okay, well, Peter, whatever your reason to try to have a fight with me over this right now and to have some kind of objection with me, all I want to say to you is the following. I knew a guy who, I remember this kid, and his father used to throw him in the water where he almost drowned a number of times. And his father would take him out in a rowboat and throw him in the water. And the kid just couldn't swim, so he'd go under time after time after time and be terrified, terrified, terrified.
Right.
And finally, he said to me, you know, but at least I learned how to swim. And I thought about it, and I saw his entire life was spent trying to challenge. But, you know, I mean, there was all that terror that he had to go through. So all I relate to you with you is not the philosophy of goal setting. I say to myself, whatever Peter did to get through and whatever forces were looking down at him to get him through the way he is today, I'm so happy. Whether Peter could have done better by going in an institution or not going in an institution, whether all the people in institutions are having bad breaks or not having bad breaks, I can't say. To speak for everybody, I can't say. All I can say about you, Peter, is thank God you made it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
well,
thanks for calling in.
That compassion.
Sure, thanks for calling in, Peter. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. It's amazing how people make it. It's amazing most of the biggest goal setters, you know. Like, they did this other thing. I was watching West Side Story recently, and I'll take this call in just a moment. And, you know, I grew up in a gang war era. I grew up down there in the Lower East Side of Manhattan when this stuff was going on without the dancing. And everybody was being beaten. I mean, every kid you know was being beaten. Parents beat them, teachers beat them, counselors beat them. Everybody beat you. You believed. Being beaten is the way it is. That's the way it is when you're a child. You get hit. And then, on the other hand, you wind up getting tough. And you get so tough that, number one, you're not afraid, as you grow older, of physical force. You're not terrified of that, on one hand. And on the other hand, you know, you never make yourself be too vulnerable. So you can say to yourself, it's a good thing I was beaten, because now I'm an achiever. Well, again, many people who are great achievers have come out of incredibly disastrous childhoods. And maybe the childhood led you to being that successful. Maybe we'd be better off to be not so successful, not so recognized, and not so pained. Maybe. Maybe I'd give up the success and give up the achievement and give up the applause for feeling okay. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand. How you doing?
I'm good. Who is this?
Michael from Brooklyn.
Hello, Michael.
I heard you speaking with that veterinarian a little bit earlier, and you had basically had given her...
I didn't know. Was she a vet?
I think she knows.
She said she's a physician.
Oh, she's a physician. Okay. And you had given some characteristics. I thought that as a general rule, you were giving some characteristics of physicians. And I was hoping you could do the same for salesmen, which is what I am. Is there anything you can deduce from that?
Have you always been a salesman?
I've been worked in retail for many years and salesman for the past 5 years or so.
Let me ask you something. What do you sell?
I sell fundraising products.
Fundraising products?
For schools.
For schools. When you sell something and people buy it from you, is it because they like you or they like the product?
I would say more than not, it's because they like me.
Right.
There is,
right. That's what a salesman is. Salesman, politician, it's like you're not selling what you sell. It's like you're selling your personality. And you have learned over time how to shape your personality to have people find you pleasing. Right?
Okay, yes.
Now tell me as a kid, how did that relate to your childhood? How did you bend yourself out of shape as a kid to be loved?
How did I bend myself out of shape? I think, you know, I've, for the most part, you know, my family life was very good, and my mother and father were very accepting, no matter what I chose to do, as long as I wasn't, you know, setting the house on fire or something like that.
Were they proud of you?
Yes.
They were proud of you. So even at an early age, you decided you found out ways to keep your parents pleased. You learned at an early age how to sell yourself.
I see.
Yeah, and it became a skill, and you still use that skill now. Okay.
Very interesting.
It is, isn't it? I'll make you a bit. You say, hey, there is no connection in here. But now when you think yourself back, you say to yourself, oh, my gosh almighty, it's right there. It's right in my face. Mm-hmm. What else did you ever want to do in your life? Did you ever want to become a fireman? What else did you want to do?
No, I mean, I would love to be in developing of real estate. That's something I definitely have an interest in. I'm doing that on a small scale. I just have a couple of small properties. But that is something I would love to move into.
Did you ever have an artistic wish as a kid?
Artistic?
Play an instrument?
I was a fan of Bob Ross. I mean, I loved following him on PBS and, you know, painting alongside of him. That was something I always enjoyed.
And what happened to your painting?
Never really followed it. I did it for on a small scale as a teenager for a couple of years, but, you know, lost touch with it once I discovered girls and having that.
So let me ask you a question. Did you ever consider what it would do to your life right now to pick up painting again?
I haven't.
Okay, now a thought right now as you think about it.
Yeah.
And think about it for yourself. Think about it as your own creative and not following anybody.
Okay.
Just doing your own. What's the feeling as you think about doing it?
It's something I would consider. I mean, it's something I know I used to enjoy, and I probably would enjoy it again.
You need something that's freeform. You need something that doesn't have the same kind of regulation and structure that you're used to, even in the building of houses. So I recommend, you know, just for yourself, grab yourself a palette. Get yourself some paints and see what happens to you. It'll do wonders for your spirit.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. A little Chopin in the background. You could hear this program on WBAI.org. And do remember that we are doing this benefit for WBAI by doing the workshop at theopencenter.org. Go to them and ask about the workshop with me on June 21st. Be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends.
There is a desire to kind of gentrify the programming. barred from presenting the morning news.
Now, as far as the gag rule goes, well, it's a reminder of what the regulations that govern our license are.
These are heady moments in the history of the station.
We were indeed 4 months behind in rent and our facilities.
So I urge you, the listeners, to understand how we got here, and without hatred.
Come join the WBAI local station board at its meeting tonight at 7 p.m. as it works to address the challenges facing WBAI. The meeting will take place in the community room at Cathedral Parkway Towers at 125 West 109th Street between Amsterdam and Columbus Avenues. The location is wheelchair accessible. Take the number 1, B, or C train to 110th Street. Again, that's tonight, Wednesday, June 10th at 7 p.m. at Cathedral Parkway Towers in the community room at 125 West 109th Street.
This is the first drive in the last 15 or 20 drives that has even come close to making its goal.
The CCK and WBI are incredibly important to the survival of this society, of progressive struggles of all our communities.
What are you listening to?
What you are listening to.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is.
It's WBAI.
Wow, sounds weird.
Weird, but I like it.
I like it.
What is it?
It's WBAI.
I like it.
Did you honor your pledge?
To go low carb?
To send money to WBAI.
Well, you mean write a check?
Yeah, I mean write a check.
I wrote it.
Well, now send it.
Oh, send it.
To WBAI.
120 Wall Street.
New York, New York.
10005.
WBAI. I like it.
Yeah!
WBAI, I like it. I like it, and I hope that you like it too. This is 99.5 FM, WBAI, WBAI.org. Good afternoon. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide. Coming up next, What's the Frequency, Kenneth? It's hosted by former WBAI news director Paul Fisher, so that'll be coming up at 2 p.m. Talk back with Hugh Hamilton at 3 o'clock. Exploration, Science, and Peace Issues with Dr. Michio Kaku at 5 and the Evening News at 6 p.m. On Sunday, June 14th at 2 p.m. at Manhattan Theater Club in the New York City Center, and Still We Rise, a benefit production and historic panel discussion led by Congolese women. That's at the Manhattan Theater Club, New York City Center, 130 West 56th Street. The panelists include Congolese women activists. For further information, you can call. It looks like it's a 202 number. So give them a call, 202-584-6512, or just log on to friendsofthecongo.org. That's friendsofthecongo.org. Again, this is 99.5 FM, WBAI. Medgar Evers College, City University of New York, the people of the Sun Middle Passage Collective, the 20th annual tribute to our ancestors of the Middle Passage.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.